This is Tina Utt doing an interview with First Sergeant Lynn Duran, 6 October 1995. First Sergeant, if you could just give me some background, the name of your parents, your ethnic background.
Okay. I was born in Dubuque, Iowa. My parents are Robert and Joyce Thomany. I was raised there my whole life until I joined the military. And Dubuque, Iowa is mainly white Catholic or Protestant, mostly Catholic in that environment, and you're either German or Irish is the predominant ethnic culture there, and of which I'm German. And small, you know, Midwest area, good place to grow up. People didn't lock doors or anything there. Everybody knew each other, everybody spoke. But kind of behind the times and something.
Was it a farming community or a suburb?
Where we lived, it was right in the city. My dad worked at John Deere. There were two major corporations in the city. It's probably about 200,000 people when you look at it, but the two major corporations were John Deere and then a packing house. Your parents either worked at one or the other. And we lived in the city, didn't do any farming, but my dad worked at John Deere for 37 years, went from blue collar to white collar. My mom was the traditional homemaker. There were five of us, so she needed to be a homemaker.
So what made you join the Army?
I graduated high school in 1975. Didn't know what I was going to do. Had thought about applying to several colleges. I wanted to go into marine biology, but naive, young, I went to Catholic schools my whole life, all 12 years, and I said, well, there's more out there than this. So I got a job. I worked as a waitress and then bartending. My parents love that. So I bartended for a while, figured out, well, this is dead end. But I didn't want my parents to pay for college either, you know, because I knew I wouldn't stay for more than a year or two. It would be a waste of their money, and they didn't really have that kind of money to spend. At the time, I was engaged to a guy who had joined the military, and I said, well, if he could do it, I can do it. So I joined the military mainly for the college and getting out to see things. Haven't been out of Iowa. Never flew on a plane before until I joined the military, so, and that's why I joined.
So the eye-opening to meet up with all these other cultures and try and be a force mix?
Yeah, pretty much so, because being from Iowa, it's almost an all-white community, and as I said, it's either you're German or Irish and Catholic or Protestant, so you don't have a whole lot of diversity there. And my first duty station for training was right here at Fort McClellan, and you get down here. I'd never been south before, never been on a plane, and here I am. But coming into it naive, I think, took away any prejudices that I might have had also, because I didn't have exposure to compare things to. And I loved it. Met a lot of great people. Still know some of the people from 1977.
So you were in the WAC Corps, and then the WAC Corps changed over to being all Army. There's no differentiation. After researching, they said the WACs were never, we didn't have sergeants in the WAC Corps. They were team leaders or something of that nature compared to now. Why do you think they never were called sergeants?
I can only speculate on that because it wasn't like I was in the, when the WAC Corps was real strong, when it was first initiated and in the prime time of it, I was in the last of the WAC Corps when they were phasing out, and I had male drill sergeants along with female drill sergeants. And I don't really remember seeing any other female sergeants except for the drill sergeants. I don't know if it's because the WAC Corps was pretty much limited to administration and medical. You know, I know they used to have female first sergeants because my husband told me because he had, when he was at Walter Reed, they had that. But probably because you just had one main supervisor and then you work for the floor supervisors or your office supervisors, that they didn't feel the need for them to be sergeants or, you know, any higher than that, except for the first star and that key person to keep them in line.
Well, since you were a trainee and then you also were a drill sergeant and now first sergeant in the regular Army, do you see any changes as far as women being trained? I know we finally moved up and started qualifying with weapons, but what about just the general overall training and the treatment?
Big change, real big change. When I came in 77, all female, of course, being the WAC Corps, we only had to run a half a mile to get out of basic training. We did the modified push-up, which is a push-up on the knees, no sit-ups, what they call a shuttle run and a run dodge jump. It was a five-event type thing. Nothing like we do today. We have the same as the males do as far as exercises, just different numbers based on, you know, the configuration that doctors who are paid much more than us figure that stuff out. The uniforms were different. We had female fatigues. We had the female boot, which they had a lot of controversy over because it caused a lot of injuries, but they're saying they needed the special boot before they went to the unisex uniform and the boot there. The Greens uniform was a lot different. As far as the treatment, I would say now, 18 years later, it's a lot different because women were still put not on a pedestal but not relied upon to be doing the same thing as their male counterparts because they had never been placed in that role before. Now, when I left basic, the WAC Corps, we shipped to the other side of post where we had MP school, and that was integrated, but nothing like it is today. It was more like a college campus atmosphere. You go to your training, you might do your physical training in the morning. In the evenings, you were at the pizza parlor and back in at maybe 2100 at 9 at night or 10 at night. And now, with the training we're doing right now, which is the same thing, just combined, those privates don't have that leeway. Their time is totally controlled except for that little weekend pass they get maybe 2 weeks prior to graduation. The only training we ever did with males in the MP school was in the classroom. We had a separate female platoon. It wasn't integrated like it is right now. We're integrated in this training, in the MP training, all the way to the team level. You might have a three-person team, one male, two females, or vice versa. And that was unheard of in 77. You march down with your whole platoon. You might sit next to a male, but normally they kept the females in their platoon configuration and then the male platoons. And any socializing you did was definitely on your own time. It wasn't during training time. But I think it's changed a lot. We had to qualify with a weapon, which I don't know how long that had been in effect. When we hit AIT, the advanced training for the MP, we had to qualify with a pistol there. But the graduation standard across the board for women in the military coming out of a MOS, the occupation specialty, like when I graduated from MP school, even though I had to run a half a mile on basic, I had to run a mile to get out of the 95 school, the MP school. Males had to run 2 miles. So the physical standards were probably the biggest difference, not so much the training standards, but at that time you also saw females, and it wasn't necessarily their fault. I would say it was a product of the military at that time, maybe not meeting the same standard as that male counterpart in training, but being credited with it. And I don't know if that's because they didn't really know what to do with females at the time, you know, or taking it easier on females because they were new coming into this MOS.
So you think they treated females with kid gloves, especially in the military police corps, because y'all were new and just coming into it?
I don't know if though it was necessarily kid gloves. I think they were kind of confused. They integrated females into the MP Corps about 74. I might be mistaken, a year or two there. And I came in 77. That's only a three-year difference, and even though it's 3 years, it's not a whole lot of time for females to get their feet on the ground. And where they're coming from, fields of nursing and administration, to go into something that's going to jeopardize, okay, my partner is a female, they were not real pleased with that, but they didn't quite know how to train them to do it. You know, I think they had the right intent in mind when they trained us, because they tried to keep the same standards, but it was easier when that female came up and just couldn't quite do it, that, okay, we'll work on it, you know, you'll get it sooner or later. This is just a basis for you to go off of. And I'm not saying that's the norm, but I had seen it happen.
Mm-hmm. What about just prejudice, not as far as, well, she's a female, she can't do it, but hatred towards the females coming into the military police and you know, in the outside world, women taking men's jobs, do they feel the same way in the military?
In training, I did not see it, but my first duty station after training, I was stationed in Germany. And I was stationed at Patch Barracks, which is the deputy headquarters of Europe. I mean, if something happens to shake Belgium, this place takes over. And I think probably for the first 8 years in service, 8 to 10 years, the most common thing I heard was, I don't want a female department. You know, what can they do for me? They can't back me up. And it all has to do with the physical configuration, you know. Yeah, everybody would love to have a partner that's 6'8" and 300 pounds. I would love to also. But when it comes from leadership, like when I hit there, they were leery, you know. They got a bunch of us all at the same time from the same training. And here come 4 or 5 females. And some of them aren't doing the things they're supposed to be doing. You know, that general adage, you either join the army to find a husband or you're gay. And they didn't use the term gay at that time. And that was what we hit when we hit Germany in 77. And it took working hard, not necessarily proving yourself, just doing what you're supposed to be doing every day so people can see that, hey, they can do it. And I think 18 years later, we've pretty much overcome that, even though it's taken that long. But there was definite, yeah, I'm not working with her because she's a female.
What about, I know even today people think, like you said, you either join the military to get a husband or you're a gay, lesbian, dyke.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel like you got tired of hearing that? Or nowadays you also, well, she's not gay and she's not married, then she must be a slut.
Exactly, that you slept your way to where you're at now, or you're the token female. They needed to promote a female. That's probably
The pause was for First Sergeant to answer phone now. Go ahead with the conversation. Slut. The token female.
As I said, the first 8 to 10 years were, well, we don't want to work with any females. Probably the last 8 years of that have been, well, you know, if you go to this school, say the advanced course or a first sergeant course, you're going to make it because you're female. They have to meet those token numbers. And to tell you the truth, I don't care if I'm the token as long as I'm doing the things I'm supposed to be doing to be competitive with my peers. If that's what it takes to be that token in their mind, that's what I'll be. But I think, I don't know as though the military has gotten away from the total preferential treatment. You know, like compared 1977 in Germany, they put a female, we were general's guards. We would go out into Stuttgart and we had to guard the general's house. Well, their test run, they put a female out there for the first time ever. Okay, they needed a female investigator. I became that female investigator. But that causes a lot of heartache with the males because it's like, why are you picking her because she's a female? And to me, that's a cheap excuse. You look at your ratio males to females in any unit, and they're very disproportionate. If you want the same thing representing your unit in a section, you're going to take that. And I don't really mind. I guess it might bother some people, but it doesn't bother me. I feel like I've worked hard to get where I'm at, and I've worked fairly with people and for people, and now people working for me. And I think as long as I keep that attitude, I've been fortunate. I've had good leaders. They saw things in me that I might not have seen and pushed me and challenged me and had me overcome those obstacles to get where I'm at today.
Do you think today's females, just from being in the military a short while, I saw there was a lot of females that did believe after being in the training environment, you have your drill sergeant, and if you have all male drill sergeants, that he is God. Mm-hmm. And then they go to their first unit and they wind up being either sexually harassed or actually taken advantage of because there's not enough female leadership. Why do you think they you may have an E6 female, but she may not be a squad leader and doesn't necessarily take on that role? A lot of women don't want to take on that leadership role for their younger counterparts. Why do you think they steer away from that? She had to answer the door. We will continue now.
I don't know if it's because it's easier not to, because I know when I was a PSC going to sergeant, I worked investigations, and it's nice being in those secluded little sections where the only thing you focus on is your job. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You just do cases, do investigating, close out cases, and you answer to maybe one or two people. You don't have to look left or right to see how your buddy is doing. And I think sometimes that might be easier. I think now, 1995, you find more women pursuing leadership roles. And I don't know if it's so much to be an example as it is to be competitive, to do something for themselves, do something for that they know they can make a difference, whether it's a team leader, a squad leader, a platoon sergeant, or a first sergeant, or a sergeant major. I think when you hit the sergeant or the staff sergeant, it gets competitive. Some leaders are leery of putting females because they don't know if they can handle it. And like I said before, that's not necessarily the norm, because a lot more leaders are getting open-minded and more optimistic.